This afternoon, if you'll turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 12, I'm just going to take the first 10 verses of Job, chapter 12. And it's a very unusual passage, but it's a very good passage, as all of these passages have been, I think, in terms of using them for communion messages to show us how Christ's sufferings go deeper than Job's did, and also deeper than ours do. And as a result of that, he is the one who helps us in our trials and temptations to be able to bear up, and also then to be able to go on to glorify him, even if it is very difficult for us to do so. So let's bow together for prayer before I begin to speak to you. Oh, our Father and our God, how grateful we are to be able to be here in the house of you, our God, to worship you in the beauty of holiness, to uphold your worship in this place, in this city, at this time, in this way. We pray that you will use the words that I'll speak to your people this afternoon to build them up in their faith and to make inroads into each of our lives in terms of how we ourselves might face our most severe temptations, trials, and difficulties by the grace which you supply. Help us to see the power of your love, the power of your grace, and the way that you give help to those who are tempted, help in time of need. So we pray that you will bless us this afternoon. May we be able to remember you and to love you more as a result of hearing this message. In Jesus' precious name I pray it. Amen. Job chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "No doubt you are the people." He's answering Zophar and his whole chapter 11, and also the men that went before him to speak to Job to try to convince him of his sin. Job answered and said, "No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? I am one mocked by his friends, who called on God, and he answered him. The just and blameless who is ridiculed, a lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready for those whose feet slip. The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure in what God provides by his hand. But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" So this afternoon, before we partake of the communion, I want to bring to your attention truths that relate to Job's statement in verse 9. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? That is, who does not know that even the beasts of the earth, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, they know this, that the hand of the Lord has done this? That is, to Job and what he's going through. And Job thought that God had brought him to this awful place, a place where he did not feel that he could go on living because this had happened to him. And he didn't understand why God was afflicting him in this awful way that he was doing. So at this time, I want to bring to your attention three truths concerning Christ's sufferings which address all of Job's questions and concerns. Christ suffered and died so that eventually Job would come to see just how much God really did love him, how much he really did care for him all through the time of this tremendous trial. God loved him not only for being the righteous man that he was, but he also loved and cared for him as a sinner who needed grace and help all through this trial that he was going through, his great time of greatest need. So first of all, Christ suffered and he died to bear us up during our times of being misunderstood by other Christians. Verses 1 to 6. Then Job answered and said, "No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have understanding as well as you, and I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these?" Now, Job is addressing all three of his friends here, and not simply Zophar when he said this. He's saying that they thought themselves superior to him in wisdom and understanding, and yet the things that they were saying to him and about him were not true in relation to his case. And you'll remember that in the last chapter, Zophar had said to Job in verse 3, "Should you your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? For you have said, 'My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes.'" Now, Job had said in chapter 10 and verse 7 that God knew that he was not wicked. And in that same chapter, he had said in verse 3, he did say to God, "Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked?" Now, if Job had actually sinned in some way, this could be construed as mocking. But when he had not actually sinned, it was actually an insult to Job to tell him that he was mocking. Zophar and his friends were assuming something about Job which was not true. And that was that he had sinned in some great way, that he was not confessing to God. And Zophar was saying that it was mocking God to speak in the way that Job did to God, when from his standpoint, Job was guilty of some sin and should repent of it. And Job says, "No doubt you are the people, you have this great understanding, and wisdom will die with you. You and Eliphaz and Bildad supposedly have wisdom on my difficult situation that I do not agree with. And you think that you know that I am a sinful hypocrite. But this is simply not true," he says to them. He then asserts that he's not inferior to them in his ability to evaluate these things. And further, he says, "What believer in God does not know the things that you are asserting? That is, that God will judge all unrepented of sin and bring it to light." He then recounts before them all what was true of them, what they were doing to him in this difficult situation that he was going through. He says, "I am mocked by my friends, the one who called upon God, and he answered him. The just and blameless man is being ridiculed," he says. "I, the one who was a light to others," he says, "is now despised in the thoughts of those who are not going through any trial, those men who are at ease themselves." Verse 5 in the King James is a better translation here than the New King James. It says, "He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised in the thought of him who is at ease." Now, this is how Job described himself in the presence of those who were supposed to be his friends. He says that instead of helping him and comforting him and encouraging him to trust in God, they had not said anything, for instance, about the robbers who had come in and plundered him, the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans, who had taken all of his possessions away from him and killed his servants with the edge of the sword. Even though they had provoked God, these Sabaeans and these Chaldeans, by their sins of theft and robbery, his friends do not make any mention of that. The robbers had gotten safely away to enjoy their plunder, and he himself was now very poor and needy, and yet his friends speak nothing about these things. At this juncture, I want us to remember what Christ went through in his sufferings and his afflictions. His sufferings were very much like Job's in certain respects, sufferings of soul and body, and yet his sufferings went so much deeper. It was actually Christ's sufferings that were bearing Job up during the trial of his sufferings. In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord said, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." This was for Job's sake. And beloved, it is for your and my sake that Jesus' soul was sorrowful, even unto death. It's so that we might be strengthened by grace. We might be borne up in our trial, and we might be kept from despair. Isaiah 53:7 says, "He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth." And we must note also that Christ willingly underwent these sufferings. He did not suffer for himself, but for all of God's elect people, including Job. And so the things that happened to Job happened to him according to the good purpose and plan of God to show forth Job's blamelessness and his integrity. The sufferings that Christ underwent, he took them upon himself so that we would be saved. We would be saved from all of our sins. We would obtain a perfect righteousness which would be imputed to us. He suffered so that we would always be seen by God as acceptable and righteous in his sight. But you see, Job was being wounded in his spirit by the thoughtless words of his friends. You know, of course, that Christ, it says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, was wounded in the house of his friends. That is, the Jews who blasphemed against him and mocked him and then had him crucified. Those who were his kinsmen according to the flesh. This is what happened to him. It says in Psalm 69, verse 4, that those who were this way to him were more than the numbers of the hairs on his head. They were mighty, and they would destroy him, being his enemies wrongfully. Though he had stolen nothing, Christ says prophetically in Psalm 69, still he must restore it. And all of these sufferings, I'm saying, undergirded Job so that he would not abandon his faith. You realize, of course, that the reason that we don't abandon our faith is because Christ undergirds us with his spiritual strength during the time of our greatest afflictions and sufferings. David wrote prophetically in Psalm 69, verses 19 to 21, of Christ's very thoughts and his words in his prayer to his Father as he hung upon the cross. "You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." So the Lord Jesus was bearing the reproaches of wicked men who were reproaching God for his choosing to send him, the only begotten Son, into the world to bear our sins in his body on the tree. This reproach, it says, broke Christ's heart. "The reproaches of those who reproached thee fell upon me," says the Lord Jesus. I'm saying all of this was for our sakes. And I hope that you will remember these sufferings when you come into great trials and testings of your faith, and you are misunderstood even by your Christian friends. Sometimes this does happen, beloved. Your Christian friends may mistakenly think that the greatness of your trial has come upon you as something that you deserved, because of some sin that you have not confessed, they suspect. And it may not at all be the case. The Lord has done this to refine you, but in his holy fire. He has done this so that you might grow up into Christ. Remember the hymn that we sing, Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He my strength, my victory is. You see, Christ is with you, dear brother or sister, in your trial. And since this is the case, you can pray and you can say to God the words of Psalm 40, verse 17, but I am poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Now, secondly, Christ suffered and died in order to have dominion over all the creatures, verses 7 to 9. But now ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? So Job is speaking in evident truth to his friends that all the creatures of the field, the birds of the air, the earth itself, and all the fishes of the sea, they all know that God orders all things concerning their existence. He providentially orders all things regarding their existence and their being provided for in continuance in their lives. Now, I want you to see this in more depth. And so I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 8, and we will see how all of these creatures who Job mentions are described in relation to God and Christ. Psalm 8, O Lord our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. So when we consider the fact that it says here in the second verse that a praise was being perfected by little ones, babes, what does it make you think of immediately? Well, it makes you think of the little children that cried out in the temple. You remember that? They cried out and they were blessing the Lord and singing hallelujah to him. And all the scribes and the Pharisees were saying, do you see what they're doing? Do you approve of what they're doing? He says, oh yes, I do. And have you never heard or read the 8th Psalm? That God has ordained praise for himself in just this way, perfected praise for himself in just this way. In that same time period, it says that Jesus, Matthew 21, verse 14, and following, that he healed the blind and the lame people who came into the temple. What an amazing thing. And that's when the children sang Hosanna to the Son of David. And these men were indignant with him. Do you hear what they are saying? Yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise? So Jesus was quoting from this psalm that I just read to you, and praise was being perfected because they were exalting him, these little children who hardly knew what they were doing, except they were caught up in the excitement of seeing the one who they thought, rightly, was their Messiah. Their parents had told them this, or someone had told them this, but the Lord had them do this, and they weren't to be silenced. And when we consider the fact then too, according to Psalm 8, that God has created the heavens and the earth, the moon and the stars, why should He consider us? If God is that great, He can create such great and magnificent works, what are we that He should consider us, the sons and daughters of men? But He does. He's so gloriously great. He considers everything that He creates. He considers it very carefully. I hope that you see this. It should be a very great encouragement when you come to take the supper today that God sees you perfectly and knows you perfectly in your heart and mind. If He can consider the sheep, the oxen, the beasts of the field, which He does, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, He knows the paths of the fish in the sea. He considers them very minutely in all the details of their life, then what does He do with you? Yes, even more so. And it says here, the Father has crowned man, and who is the man that's being spoken of here? But the Lord Jesus Christ, with glory and honor, and He's made Him to have dominion over all the works of His hands. In other words, He's given all things to the Lord Jesus Christ into His hands. And so that's why Job says, ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you that God has done this. That is, done this to Job. See, Job believed in the sovereignty of God, and he very much believed it. And yet he could not understand why God was putting him through this trial. He very much needed to understand that Christ was establishing dominion over Satan in this very situation that he was going through. And you will see this if you turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 10 to 13. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 10 to 13. For it was fitting for Him, this is Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, here I am, and the children whom God has given to me. What a precious truth this is, that God has given to His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, children. And that's what we are. We are His children. He has been given dominion over all creatures, and we who believe in Him are His spiritual children. Job was not made perfect through his own sufferings in any way other than through Christ. Job had been given to Christ before the foundation of the world in the covenant of redemption, and in and through the covenant of grace, which Christ fulfilled by the shedding of His blood for Job. He purchased dear Job, and He purchased all of us who believe in Him. He has brought Job to glory, and He is bringing us to glory because He has completed the work of His sufferings. He lay dead in the tomb for us so that we might die to sin. And He rose from the dead so that we might be justified and declared righteous by faith in Him. And the work of our sanctification rests upon Christ as well. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. He has declared the Father's name and purpose in the midst of His brethren, which is to bring us to glory. And in order to bring us to glory, we must be sanctified as well as justified. And we must follow our captain, and we must learn to endure hardship, sometimes extreme hardship. We must do battle with the world and the flesh and the devil and overcome. But He will give us grace to do that very thing. And this is why we need to remember him now in the supper. And so I'm going to speak a few more words to you and give you one more point, but I want you to come down front now and I want you to bring your hymnal and we'll sing hymn number 677, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can pardon this my plea? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fact I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, a few more thoughts here for you. In Job chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Job says, who among all these creatures does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, and whose hand is the life of every living thing? So Job was in great consternation because he didn't understand why God was tearing his life apart. He didn't understand these things, but one thing he did know was that he was in God's hand. And beloved, that's something that you and I ought always to remember. No matter what we go through, that we are always in God's hand. Job needed to be reminded of God's loving care, his perfect discernment of all that he was going through. He needed to trust that the Lord would in due time reveal his purposes to him. And he should have quietly waited. We've come here to remember the Lord Jesus. And remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. He said, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. He says, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So we need to remember at this time that we are of more value than birds, than many sparrows. A sparrow does not fall to the ground without the Lord knowing it. How much more value are you than many sparrows to God? Well, Job came into the situation that he was in because Satan, the accuser of the brethren, wanted to prove to him that he was not the man of integrity that God said that he was. But Satan was proved wrong. And how did Job come through this trial? How did he come through this awful time? Well, he did so by faith in Christ, as much as he knew of him. You have to stop and think. He did not know the name of the Lord Jesus, but he knew that he had a Redeemer. And he says in chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer lives, and someday he will take his stand on the earth, and I shall see him with my own eyes. So he knew that he had a Redeemer. I'm not sure that he understood how much he was being held up by his Redeemer. And dearly beloved, we may not understand how much the Lord is holding us up either when we go through our deepest trials, but you can be assured because of this supper, these emblems of his death, that he is there with you. And you should let your heart be strong. Let your heart take courage, because you will overcome by faith in Christ as well. Listen to Hebrews 2:14-18. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And listen to this, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So that's why Jesus suffered. That's why Jesus died. It was so that he might give you aid when you are tempted. When you are tempted to think that he is not there when he is there. And he's doing great things, if you only know it, behind the scenes. Sometimes we don't know. But he is doing these great things. So as we partake this supper, I want us to remember that Christ, through his cross, destroyed the devil in regard to his having the power to destroy our lives or ultimately defeat us during our time of temptation. He's our faithful high priest. He's made propitiation for the sins of his people. And because he suffered being tempted, he's going to give us aid just at the time when we need it. That's what these emblems are all about. Lyle, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the bread for us? Bless this time of partaking the bread.
Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus and his sufferings for us. We pray that we would partake in remembrance of this and that you would go with us.
Mm-hmm.
And meet all of our needs, each one. We pray in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Abe, would you give thanks for the cup, please?
Lord, we thank you again for this reminder. Oh, we so easily forget, Lord, of the perfect sacrifice on our behalf, Lord, the only way that could satisfy the wrath of God for our sins, Lord. Lord, please help us to live in light of this even more and more each and every day. Help us not to so easily forget, though we are so prone to it. Help us to remember your goodness to us, your sovereignty over our lives, and your watch and care for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's stand and we'll sing together the last two verses of "Nothing But the Blood," and then we'll have prayer and be dismissed. "This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen." Let's pray together. O Lord, we have once again partaken of your supper, and we want to go forth from here to be those who are your disciples, living for you with all of our heart, walking in your ways, in the ways of uprightness and truth. We pray to have renewed strength and vigor by partaking of this supper spiritually, in this regard, that we would go forth to do your will with a cheerful heart, and that we would love you and serve you in such a way that others would understand and know that you are our God, and that you are our helper in everything that we do, that you are our Savior who has taken away all of our sins, that you are our Lord who has dominion over our lives for good. So we pray that we would meditate sweetly upon these truths that I've given to your people here this afternoon, go away from here marveling over the greatness of all that you have done for us and all that you are doing for us in the future as well. We thank you for this, Lord, and we pray these things in your blessed name. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You are dismissed. May the Lord go with you. Amen.